for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2012 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, May the 28th, 2012. Tom Stone is the speaker of the service teaching on coming out of prisons.
Kevin also wanted me to remind everybody, you know, we don't have iPhones and all this other stuff, but a lot of you do. And it's not even the iPhone, it's the, I guess it's the Androids, is that it? That allows you to, you don't have to be on your computer to download those files and listen to them. You can do it from your phone. In fact, this fellow over here listens to it on his motorcycle when he's going down the road. So just know that those free media files, and we counted up this morning, there's 114 files. Now that means files. There may be, there's 90-some messages, but some of them have two parts to them. So anyway, we just want to continue to keep that in the forefront of your mind because there is a tremendous amount of help there. And Brother Tom Stone is in the secret place of the Most High. He's under the shadow of the Almighty. He is doing what God has told him to do. And he is doing it faithfully. And it's not without adversity. And it's not without warfare. But God is pulling him and taking him and keeping him on that path that God has put him on. Tommy Cook, a minister here a long time ago, he's gone on to be with the Lord. But he said, God can pull you through a keyhole if you can stand the pull. So hang on to Jesus. Hang on to Jesus. Amen.
You know, a lot of times it's not easy
to turn on discernment and turn it off. Sometimes,
you know, you see people and then you understand where they're really at. And you see people and you know that they're there for only one reason. But then you see people that come that are really hungry for God. And I want to tell you something right now. It's you really got to get a hold of the horns of the altar to withstand rejection. You really got to get a hold of the horns to withstand criticism. You got to really get a hold of the horns to withstand abandonment. And then look right straight in your eye and they say, you're my friend. And I found the only person that can get to your back is your friend. They get so close, they stab you right in the back. To stay away from the spirit of bitterness, you better be a tough individual. A very tough individual. Because it'll lead you down a path you don't want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And you'll pay a whole lot more than you want to pay. So be aware of your motives. I think that's one of the greatest things I would say to you today. And may God keep you if your motives are pure. And God, you minister to their hearts and to their spirits. You open up their spirit, man, that they can hear directly from you. Not a surf anything, that they hear the real anointing. Because a lot of times I could see. Sometimes there are no seeing. Sometimes there's a touch. But sometimes God just flows. But you've got to be willing to stand in any of those areas. Because you can't turn this knob, you can't turn that knob. And what I'm saying is you can't turn this guy or this lady over here and get the Holy Spirit to work. And sometimes I'm soft. And sometimes the Holy Spirit wants me to knock on your Cro-Magnon. And you know, to listen to that voice, to move different directions. I mean, all the same Spirit, but one God, and just to move and flow in Him. Because no individual that you talk to is the same. And you've got to be attentive to the Holy Spirit. What word? What's keeping them locked up? Where have they been hurt? Where have they been abused? Where have they been lied to? Where have they sexually or physically been molested? In their minds or in their body? You could get molested in your mind just as easy as you can in your body. Both of them have the same results. Because both of them can put you in a prison that it's almost impossible to get out. But God. But God. And Patty's told me, hey, she's a friend. And when I get in a fix, she comes to me and said, but God. But God. I want to tell you something. Lord put me on my mind to go minister to Susan here the other day. Guess what? I got ministered. With her testimony, it broke my heart. It broke my heart. Because to be in her shape and what really, really, really got to me, she just lost her father last year. And oh, to be that child, to lose their father. You know, the one that cares for you, the one that cries for you, the one that puts you on his desk and says, this is my child. The father wants to put your picture on the desk and this says, this is my child. Don't you touch him. Don't you touch him. He says, don't touch my anointed. Don't do my prophets any harm. Ooh. Have you ever got spanked by the Holy Ghost? If you ever got snatched up and turned around by God, He will do it. He will do a good job of it. Because He's the author and the finisher of correction. He's the author and finisher of the law. He's the author and finisher of faith. He's the author and finisher of the Holy Ghost. He's the author and finisher of Jesus Christ. He is our principality. He is our power. He is our shield. He is our buckler. And believe me, if you step over that line, there is a repercussion. There is a repercussion. Because what God puts on me, it's got to come out. Because, you know, He wants you to be a vessel. He wants you to be a vessel that He can pour into. But yet He wants you to be able to pour out in the right time, the right season, the right moment, the right person. And believe me, if He gives you a message, do not abort the Holy Spirit. Because if that message is for one person and you go tell somebody else, you've aborted it because you've taken the anointing off them. You've taken, because listen, He told you. He didn't tell nobody else. For that particular thing. God, don't let us be caught there, aborting the Holy Spirit. Don't let us walk in disobedience, the spirit of witchcraft. You know, for prayer's sakes. Have you ever heard that? Oh, Lord, I pray for those people right now. Lord, I pray for the people that left here already. Lord, let the Holy Spirit go with them to keep them. And folks, I want to tell you something very important. What you've learned here, put it on a shelf until God pulls it off. You understand what I'm saying? That He brings it back to your mind. Because I want to tell you something. You go preaching it out of the season, out of the anointing, out of the direction of the Holy Spirit, and I guarantee you, you'll go away like the sons of Sceva. That story is there, it is real, and it will happen today. It will happen today. Moving out of God's season. And there's a time. Ecclesiastes, there's a time to pull up. There's a time to plant. There's a time to prune. And there's a time to pluck. You know, there's a time. And we need to be in God's timing. In God's timing. About everything in our life. But yet we've got to be in tune with His Word. We need to find out who God is. The way you find out who God is, you get in Proverbs. The way you want to know who God is and what He expects, get in Genesis. Every time His people rebelled, there was a repercussion. Am I right? Every time they murmured in the wilderness, 2 million of them murmured. Are we murmuring today? Beware, folks. The murmuring lips. It don't affect anybody except you. And here we got this mentality that we could tell God I can do anything I want to with my body. It won't hurt nobody. And yet He says, I will transfer those generational sins from the second, third, and fourth generations. I'm going to tell you something. God loves you. God loves you. And He put this word here to minister to those curses that we could come out from underneath them. And people say, well, you're cursed. Whatever you learn here, don't go and say. I'm going to use James for instance. James, you've got a spirit of, carrying a coin in around your pocket, and you always reach in it for a safety valve. That's not even existing. But if it offended him, boom, it blew the anointing. You don't go telling people what they've got. Because I'm telling you, it will come right out of that third eye. It may came from God, but it will come right out of that third eye in a judgmental spirit. You will be condemned and they will be condemned. Because the spirit of rejection comes upon you because they didn't receive it. I told them the truth. I told them the truth. And we go around killing each other all the day long thinking we're doing God justice. Justice. When we got murder in the tongue. And a lot of times we operate out because we've been hurt somewhere down the line, and hurting people hurt people. I used to, before I got rid of this alcoholic spirit and still some other things, I used to laugh every time somebody got hurt. Because I was hurting, and I thought it was funny for somebody else to get hurt too. Because somehow in this Pandora's box that we were in, because God's not in the box and we are, and we're dealing with all these emotions and stuff like that. And so if we've been hurt, I'm glad to see somebody else hurt because I was hurt. That's weird thinking. But we were there at one time. A lot of us. I'm not saying all of us, but a lot of us were. So we're getting free in a lot of areas, folks. A lot of areas. Some of them are mentally. Some of them are sexually. Some of them are physically. Some of them are generational curse. But guess what? There's antidotes. There's antidotes, and it's called the anointing of God and Jesus Christ. It's called the word of knowledge. It's called God. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. Somewhere, either somebody's done something to us or we've done something, inward and outward condemnation. I know that a lot of times we forgive other people, but we never, never check ourselves. Have we forgiven ourselves? And I've started using this because God really showed it to me. And you look into the sun and you close your eyes and you see these logs, these little floaters. Those are really logs, spiritual logs. And God said, well, you got a list. I said, I didn't deny it. So I started going down the list. As I forgave people, the trash left out of my eye. I was in the parking lot waiting for my wife to come out from a shopping spree. And I was doing business with God. Well, a month later, after the check come in, we was down at another shopping spree, and I fell asleep carbohydrates took over. I looked in the sun. Here was the logs again. I said, "Oh, that's easy. Get it out." And so I went down my list. They didn't go away. They didn't go away. They didn't go away. And he said, "Forgive yourself." Inward and outward condemnation. So there's areas that we can check ourselves for these situations. I'm going to get to some word here in a minute, believe me. But God wants to restore what the pommel worm, the caterpillar, the locust, and a lot of these are deeds and a lot of them words, and one of them, and it's just like sometimes the words we say are like, you girls sleep in a feather pillow at home? Feather pillow. Well, probably. Well, you're not even old enough to know what a feather bed is. Okay, let me explain. In the older generation, people, just bear with me, okay? The people at my age, they used to go out and pluck the chickens. But they'd take the fluffy feathers, you know, around, and not the real long, prickly ones, and they'd put them in a sack. They'd sew it up. And this was the only bedding they had. And if you ever slept in a feather bed in the middle of summertime, believe me, it's not fun. Because it's so soft, it goes kapoosh and then wraps up around you. And here you are, 110 degrees at nighttime, and sweat is running. What you talking? But back to the pillow, these words, these cankerworms, the pommel worms, and locusts and stuff, it's just like you breaking that pillow and throw it in the air. Can you gather them all up? No. But I know somebody who can. And that's the Holy Spirit, God. By repentance, by confession, and by yielding yourself and letting your guard down. So many of us got so guard, you don't give. Speak to the hand. Speak to the hand. Been hurt too many times. You're not going to get no closer than this. In relationships and friendships, speak to the hand. Whatever. And never, never. Rejection, abandonment, you name it. And we're hearing this stuff all the time. Hearing it all the time. But you know, the Lord desires to work with us in spite of who we are. Even when I was Caleb's donkey, he worked with me. And I've had Caleb's donkey speak to me. I mean, pure heathen come up and say something to me, and boom, hit the mark. Has that ever happened to you? Some of them have got the gift of discernment, but they never seen Christ. But I don't know what forces are giving it to them, but it's real. And how many of you ever heard the word that your life is an open book? They can read you. They don't have to stick no stamp on you and send you off to the post office and run you through that little mail separator, you know, all the buttons and stuff. They can read you right on the spot. I've got my mail read lots of times. And I appreciate it. Matter of fact, I prayed not too long ago, can somebody come and read my mail? And all of a sudden, this man walks in here and he says, "You all right? You all right?" He asked me twice, and I looked at him. I said, "Yeah." But as soon as I turned around, I had turned back around, I said, "I need to get with you in a few minutes." But you know, and I've been praying, somebody discern me. Because look at, I'm not without sin. And I desire to be clean. I desire to be in right standing with the Holy Father. You know, and if we, any of us, ever think we're to the top of the ladder and we're without sin and we, you know what, you understand what I'm saying? So I'm not afraid to repent standing right here before you. Because it's not fun to get caught by God. It's not fun. It's better to get it out of the way, not be like Ananias and Sapphira, and die and be carried out. So repentance stops that movement right there. It stops a death angel from coming and snatching you early. And there is one. There is one. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Because Paul has some things to say about this kind of thing. And first off, he says, "Thou art inexcusable." Inexcusable. There's no excuse. But, he did this. They did that. Oh, I'm working harder than they are. You know? I do more than them. It's none of our concern. We need to work unto God. Unto Him. It makes no difference if we're in the field or in the factory or if we're in the office or we even behind the pulpit. Because there's all areas of pride can jump up. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best prayer warrior. But I am in Him when He tells me what to say. And you've got to realize that's where your real strength lies. That's where your real spirit of perfection needs to come from. Not the alcoholic perfection that drives you and 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 drives you. Trying, you know, I've seen people go in the kitchen and they'll start turning handles just this way. This way, just line them up, or you know, and so the spirit of perfection needs to come down and let it be in Christ. And the only way we can be perfected is know His Word, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to build up your faith that you might hear Him speak, that you hear Him speak at the proper time. And oh, that word that He gives you, and the only word that you say is what He says, is perfected. It's not our word. It's not my word. It's His word. You see the difference? If we move in Him by His anointing, it is perfection, but it's not our moving. It's His. We could say, "Yes, Jesus," and move. And it work. This little boy right here has as much authority in the spirit realm that is any man or woman in this room. That young man, when Rhonda was here, I know Tucker, he was praying one day and all of a sudden healing came for this one person. It wasn't what he said, it was the obedience that the child had. We are without excuse, but rebuttals. We try to blame others, and here it is. And whoso thou ever judgest. How many people in here have you judged? Have you judged yourself? Judgment works inward, outward, all around you. It will consume you. And there's plenty of people in here who's got testimonies about judgment. And I'm going to tell you something. It's not funny. It's not funny. If you judge yourself, or you judge somebody else. If you judge your leadership, there is an office that you don't come against. You may have a Paul or a Saul, or you may have a David or a Jeremiah. Guaranteed, there is some repercussions. Because there's an office there. God set the office up. He set it in order, in the scripture there. He says, "And whosoever thou judgest, thou committest or condemnest thyself." I sentenced Tom to heart attack through great fear. I sentenced Tom to judgment through bitterness, cancer, and for not releasing those people. And you've got the gavel. You've got the word. And you even release endorphins and other chemicals in your body that lines up. You got the ability to stop white corpuscles or release white corpuscles to fight disease. The Lord put it in you. You cut your finger, and within 14 days, it's healed. He put a healing in you. He put an ability in you that any disease that come nigh thy belt and dwelling, it will resist. But guess what? You open the door. Ooh, come on in. Come on in, Feli. Let me sit down with chronic arthritis. Let me sit down with lupus. Let me sit down with AIDS. Let me sit down with this and entertain it. But Jesus can release into you the healing virtue. One testimony, we was going to a Baptist church. Usually the Baptists don't believe in healing. As a matter of fact, some of them are starting to move that direction now, thank goodness. Thank goodness, because they are a sleeping giant. This man came from one town about 40 miles away to this other little town where we was affiliated with. And he had lymphoma cancer, knots this big around all over his body, stuck up about that high. And they pronounced him and said, you're not going to live very long. That, my friend, was a prophecy that scared the ever-loving...
Bejeevers
are where he was headed out of him. He was headed towards hell, damnation. But I'm telling you what, it scared it out of him. And when he came over there, all of a sudden snot started flowing from me and tears were running down my cheek. And the word was, you've got some unconfessed sins. And that hit his heart so hard, it was like a sledgehammer. It was almost like closing the casket on him. That man started repenting of marital relationships, having sexual contact with his secretary, stealing pens, stealing gas, stealing this, stealing that. And you know something? After he repented for about 30, it felt like 30 minutes. The first couple words out of his mouth, I said, God, what are we going to do about this? Because his wife was standing right next to him. And you know what he said, Kevin? He said, shut your mouth, I'll take care of this. But God. All right, this Baptist church just followed what it was saying, like over there in James 5. And let the elders lay their hands on you and pray for you that you may be healed. Shall be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Unfortunately, I stood beside him, and as the Lord was dealing with me, you don't stand in front of somebody you're starting to deliver, because they might expel something, and you need to stay out of the line of fire, because they might be transferred to spirits and they get on you. And he just reared back and went, ha! And it was almost like I saw a dead possum that was laying on the side of the road come out of his mouth in the spirit realm, and it stunk severely. Have you ever walked into a room where somebody's dying of cancer and there's a smell in there? And a lot of time it's a lot of antiseptic and soap and is in there to keep the smell down. But there was no smell reducer there that night. But that spirit of death come off of him. We laid our hands on him, and everybody that had their hands on him felt the cancer leave right then. Leave right then. But God. That man was judging himself. He was eat up. He knew he had done something. He was trying to withhold that poison. He was trying to hold that iniquity. He was trying to keep back from his wife. His wife knew it already. His wife knew it already, because there's when this... fornication and this adultery happens, they know. They know without anybody telling them, because you'll move different, you'll treat them different, but thank God, his own judgment was removed because he judged himself. But he passed judgment on himself earlier. I can do anything I want. They won't know. Nobody knows. Guess what? The other person was there. Satan was there. Oh, he was glad to pick up that information. And God was there. And you were there. Or nobody was there. Nobody. But yet you had a court. Where two or three are gathered together, there I will be also. And there were four people there. And Satan's really, really glad to get that information, because he will use it every chance he gets after it happens. And then self-condemnation, fear. Oh, lots of fear enters in. Fear within and anger without. You back a person into the corner like you rattle a chain, or you start snatching a dog around and he starts getting mad. You back him in the corner. What's going to happen to you? You're going to get bit. You're going to get bit. I had my own dog bite me one time. Has anybody had their own dog bite you? Will they bite you? Yes, they will. Yes, they will. But I'm going to tell you something right now. This Romans chapter 2, verse 1, really don't... Thou hast judged us, and thou hast done the same thing. What you judge somebody else. Has anybody walked in the room and you really, really don't like or don't want to be around? I found a way to change that. Lord, whatever's in that man, if it's in me, I repent of it right now. That I might have the love of the Father. That I might have the love of the Father. I was on a construction job one time in Kingman, Arizona. And it was on a pipeline. And a lot of people, when they get on these pipelines, they're really running from life itself. They want to get away from things. And this one particular individual, he was pretty much an alcoholic. And his wife was an alcoholic, and she died with cirrhosis. And he got mad at God for taking his wife. Has anybody in here ever got mad at God? It's not good. Not good. But guess what? All you need to talk to him about it, and he'll forgive you. Don't stay there. Don't stay there. Because usually it wasn't him, it's you that created the situation. You're the one that pulled the plug. You're the one that made the judgment. You know? And I found myself, every time I get into a situation, am I the one? Examine the Lord's body, the temple. You know, we take the Lord's Supper and we never examine ourselves. So if all these things is happening in us, we need to examine ourselves right now, today. Today is the day of salvation for you. Examine yourselves. Is Abraham's blessings withheld from you? We shouldn't run fast. We shouldn't have to run. It should overtake us. You can't run fast enough if you're really in the right area. In the right area. Like the other day, I was on the job and my wife called me and said, "Hey, the termite guy is next door doing another man's job." And just, I came in and at lunch and we went over there and we talked to the guy and I talked to my neighbor. I said, "This is not fair." And I had a smile on my face and I was just joking. But I said, "You're treating your bugs and you're running them all over my house." And so, hey, I don't know what happened, what transpired, but you know, I asked the guy, "Well, what was he having to pay for these terminators extraction going and digging all the way around his house and filling it full?" He says, "No. No pestilence should come nigh thy dwelling," you know. And my wife, she asked him, "How much we owe you?" And he says, "Nothing." The next door neighbor paid $1,200. And He done it for nothing. Yeah. We did make we gave him a love offering. But he did not charge us a thing. Abraham's blessings. And believe me, I tell you what, we needed that. Not because of the bugs, but because when you get involved in this kind of ministry, everything in the book is going to come at you. I mean, you try to come down here to camp and things are going to start happening. What you talking about? I mean, flat tires to people slandering you, to people cussing you out, to people finances getting slipped here and slipped there. It should not go there. An extra bill will come in, or you name it. You know, your lawnmower may fall apart, or I don't know. I mean, but when you're supposed to be here, all of a sudden, right at the last moment, God will make a way if you press in, because He knows your name. He desires to have a communion with you. He says, I desire to have a communion with you, a talk with you, a relationship with you, a refreshing. And so, man, ooh, that had some anointing. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And you know, we need to have more of that refreshing, that anointing from the Heavenly Father. It should pour down upon us regularly. We should become a what you would call it, a goosebump junkie from the Lord. You know, no, not this needle stuff, but I mean, He just pours down over you and refreshes you. And it's just like, because He is our husband. He is our husband. He is our father. He is our comforter. He is our peacemaker. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. This chapter, I really, really fell in love with it. I really like it. It's meant so much to me because it talks about how we can, and all the guys has done and heard it, and if they can sit in my class again, they're going to hear it again. And if you sit in my class again, you're going to hear it again. And it all deals with all forgiveness. Okay, he says, and after this manner, pray ye. And so sometimes we need to learn to pray. How many of you ever learned to pray? How many of us ever prayed through? Have you ever heard the word pray through? I know a lot of the younger ones hasn't, but the older people, they used to say pray through. Pray through is meaning that you stay there until you get your answer. Pray through until things move. And if you pray through, and sometimes it takes a while to pray through. Sometimes it takes a lot of effort to pray through. So, and we've been in prayer meetings and it start out just for a minute or two, and 4 hours later, all time just disappears. And wow, you know, just get caught up in the presence. It's a word's not even in the scripture, but you get caught up with the word. You get caught up with Christ. You get caught up with the Holy Spirit. That time don't exist no more. And we need to be able to pray that way more often and get away from the distractions. It says, and pray after this manner, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Nobody fears God anymore. The fear of the Father needs to fall again. Because I can do this if I want to. You know, and then until you get in a wreck, and then the first thing out of it, oh my God, what have I done? Have you ever heard that? When in a wreck and somebody just gets out of the car, if you're the first responder, says, oh my God, what have I done? And then all of a sudden, you turn this idolatry around. God, why did you let this happen? blaming God for it. And your brain was not with your body. And you caused the accident. Or the other person caused the accident. Because their brain was not attached to them. And it was like this. They were driving behind the wheel with a seizure. Because their mind was over here. Not where they were. An outer body experience. How many people has had an outer body experience that their mind's gone over there and they're thinking all about what they're fixing to do, what they're fixing to say? I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. Boy, when he gets here, I'm going to slap his jaws. I'm going to tell him what's what. And you're there, supposed to be doing something else. You're there, supposed to be doing something else. In control of what you're doing. And by the way, that's what you call an accident-prone spirit. I bind seizures right now in Jesus' name. I break the power and authority of a seizure right now in Jesus' name. All anger, frustration, anxiety, fear, and stress, I break your powers over that wheel, over that car when you're driving down the road. Let your mind be there in Jesus' name. We bind up that text message in Jesus' name. That cell phone, we bind it up and break the power and authority of that right now in Jesus' name. While you're driving, it brings you into that seizure. It brings you into that accident-prone spirit. Thank you, Lord. You guys may not be enjoying it, but I am. Hallelujah. Teach us to pray. Keep our minds from our fragmentation. Our minds are scattered out there, fragmented. What am I going to do tomorrow? What's going to happen next moment? Lord, I've got a couple $1,000 worth of bills in the mail. How am I going to pay these? And you're sitting out there figuring out ways to come up with money, how to juggle this fund to this fund to this fund and then back to this fund. Or which credit card I'm going to use this month to pay off that other credit card to where I can pay the other credit card and round robin. And we could stall it off for a while. But pretty soon the interest is going to catch up because you're going to pay. You're going to pay. And then it starts giving us some information. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. What is kingdom living? Yep. Righteous peace in the Holy Ghost. But see, kingdom is not the church. Kingdom is not the church. We need to come out of the church into the kingdom of God. In other words, I speak to that mountain and the mountain shall be removed. I speak to that octopus that's on top of the mountain that's got its tentacles all over this valley, all over this nation. I break the power and I break the authority of you sucking spirit in Jesus' name. It sucks the life out of people. Tornado, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. I bind you, command you to dissipate in Jesus' name. Kingdom living. I speak a job where there is no job for that person. Father, I need a job. Ring. Hey, I need some work over here. We need to talk to the Father. And where we walk into is the kingdom living. We're living beneath what we're supposed to be. If we're Christ-like, should we not be talking like Christ? Should we not be moving like Christ? Should we not be touching people and things happen? Amen. We're living beneath our means. And God wants to share His glory with all humanity. But the church today aborts the Holy Spirit. I bind the spirit of Moloch in the spirit realm right now over all of you. I break the power, I break the authority, I release the anointing into you that you walk from the church, the earthly church, into the kingdom of God. By the way, the Heavenly Father chooses you. You don't choose Him. And if we go down there, I'm going to shake your hand. If we go down there and say, can I join your church today? You missed the mark. You missed the mark. It's the Father that calls you. It's the Father that saves you. It's not the church. And then they put some charismatic witchcraft on you that you need to be bearing somebody else's burdens, and sometimes we gather all the burdens up we can carry and walking down like this and with fibromyalgia and neck pains and headaches and migraines and got to lay down for a week and you know, can't even see the light, and if we're born to the light, we should be able to stay in the light. And then, but God says, hey, you bring him to me. How do you bring him to me? Well, here's one way. I'm going to just use Joseph for an example. You know, I've been interceding for him. But Father, right now I break evil soul ties with Joseph in Jesus' name. I pull his soul out and I send it back to him. But Lord, I just lift him up. Don't go no further than that. Don't go no further than that. Because then they're able to hear from the Father. I want you to hear from the Father. Because see, it's the Father that saves us. It's the Father that wants to do it for us. Because if a minister tries to step out there and do everything for you, he's going to get wore out and wore out quickly. Because he's holding the church like that. Either push or pull or get out of the way. So the church needs to realize some things. There is a Holy Spirit and he's still alive. He's still well. And he still has the same authority. And Christ says, oh, these things that I do are not mine, but the Father who sent me. And he says, and ye shall do likewise, and even greater things. And we say, and we walk away from it. Abort that word. And he's speaking directly to you. If that word is a testimony, and it's written, it's to you. It's a letter to you. It's a letter to the kingdom of God. It's a deed. In other words, you're locked into him as long as you stay confessed up, as long as you hear his word. It's a deed that you can move into that ownership of that word until you release it, and then you go back to get another one. You wait upon the Holy Spirit. And that deed will perform itself. That word is the deed. That word is what moves. That word from God is what heals. He says, I am the God that healeth thee. Where did this time go? Let's go on down just a minute. He says, but give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How many people in here forgive the people that send us a bill every month? I know some children that I don't have to pay this bill this month. I'm going to go out and eat steak. I'm going to go out to the racetrack. I'm going to go get a tattoo. And don't pay their bills. And then they call up, hey, Mama. Hey, Daddy. My electricity bill's due. They're going to cut it off. I need to borrow some money. Does this sound familiar? Hey, Papa. And then you say, nope. You know, and I thought, man, Father said no to your child. Well, if that child is disobedient, moving in witchcraft, are you going to pay him out? Is he drunk and disorderly? Or she? Up on dope? And they, in other words, you're paying their bills and they're living and they're spending their money for other stuff. Oh, that happened to me one time. Did I lose? I had to come back down to earth because I got so hot that you know how smoke rises? I was working back there and I just bought something for him. And I walked around there and he was tipping a Budweiser and eating steak. And I was back there. I said, I sinned. I sinned. I got mad. Got angry. I had to forgive him. But the Lord said, no, no more finances. No more finances. And you know what? How it works? Then he takes that child and he puts him on the potter's wheel or takes him in the olive press and makes them have to squirm. And sometimes, hopefully, they start crying, "Jesus, Lord, help me." I was done that way. My folks never paid me out. As a matter of fact, I refused it. I got in trouble with the Unemployment Social Security Division one time. I was working with a cousin of mine. I was paying him cash. And I didn't realize it, but he was keeping a record of every dollar that I ever paid him. Times got short. The housing industry went, you know. They let me go, and I went and got a job for $5 an hour. And I asked him, "Well, can he come along with me?" And they gave him a job for $350, and I was paying him $400 a week, $400 and $500 and $600 a week. And no, he didn't. He went right straight down and filed for unemployment. They jingled old Tom up, and I said, "Come on down, son." I went down there, and this guy walks in. He had a 9 on his hip and a set of cuffs on his back, and he said, "You owe us some money." I said, "Yes, I do." As he showed me the records, I said, "But hey, I've got to pay it out because I don't have that kind of money." After a great argument, they was going to take $560. And I was making $570 a week out of my paycheck. That left me with nothing. I said, "No, I'm not. That's not going to happen." I said, "I got a 68 Chevrolet truck and a $6,000 mobile home that I'm living in. You can have that." No, they didn't want that. They wanted the turnip. Anyway, the Lord was merciful. And I told my parents about it. And they said, "Well, we got the money. We'll pay you out." And I said, "No, you won't. No, you won't." I said, "I got myself into this mess, and I'll get myself out, because, hey, I wasn't going to abuse my parents." And there's a lot of people out there that will abuse their parents today. They'll take the last nickel and then kick them out because they're in the way. And the way they kick them out is they take them to the nearest restroom. Not right. Not right at all. Didn't make no difference what my parents said to me or done to me. I was not going to abuse them. I mowed their yard, cut their wood. I liked to fish, and I'd bring them in 5 gallons of brim, and they would clean the brim and put them up. And I used to have a real vengeance on Bambi. I'd go catch Bambi and bring him home to them to eat. And I blessed my parents. I even helped them build their home. But I blessed my parents. You know, and the blessing you can be, you can support yourself. That's the way He could bless your parents. You know? The Word says, if you don't work, you don't eat. So these are precepts. Precept after precept, after concept, and it's all true and real. But bitterness will wind up in cancer. Bitterness is, here's some things that are in the spirit of bitterness. It says unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is not in the Bible, but it says, "If thou will not." Let's jump way down there to 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you." How many in here wants the forgiveness of God?
Amen.
All right. "But if ye forgive not." If ye forgive not, other words, whole resentment, unforgiveness, men their trespasses, the ones that comes against you, the ones that hurt you, ones that offend you, if you will not forgive them, neither will your fathers in heaven forgive you. You do not collect money. You do not go collect your $200. You go right straight to jail. A spiritual prison. Spiritual prison. The next one is resentment. Have you ever resented anybody? Do not go past go. Do not collect $200. Straight to prison. Retaliation. I won't forgive and won't forget, but you'll pay. Paybacks come hard. Do not collect $200. Do not go past go. Go right straight to jail, and you will pay all. Anger. Has anybody in here got really anger and never forgiven somebody? I'm going to be truthful. It's time. It's time. Do not collect $200. Do not go. Go right straight to jail. You can't go towards the boardwalk. Now, I've turned my anger around, and I hate the demons that's on you that got you in prison. I like you, but I don't like them that messes with your brain. We go from anger to hatred. Has anybody ever hated anybody? Oh, yeah. I think if it was all really honest. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you ever hated yourself? See, I can get more heads to nod that way than the other way. And that's really where we start releasing that poison in our system. That's when we take the glass of strychnine and waiting for the other person to die. Violence. Has anybody ever got into violence? I used to kick rear ends and take names. And I was not afraid to do it. It didn't make no difference if it was 1, 2, 3, 4. It didn't make no difference. But God changed my life. I got rid of that spirit of violence. Do not collect $200. Do not go to boardwalk. Go right straight to jail. I was in prison. And I thank God that I'm out of that prison. Murder. Hallelujah. Has anybody ever murdered you here? I imagine there has been. But I'm going to tell you another way. You can stab somebody and you shoot them or whatever. But with this mouth right here, you can kill people. Absolutely put them in the grave. If you don't believe that, a person comes in for capital punishment. The judge says, I sentence you to death. He pronounces it, puts the date on the piece of paper. He spoke it, but it'll happen. Doctors can pronounce death over you. You're going to die within 6 months with cancer. But I'm here to tell you right now, there is a God that will heal you. I know of 3 people right now in this room that death sentence has been reversed. And if He'll do it for them, He'll do it for you. If He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. See, what I talked, what this root of bitterness is all about is cancer anyway. It's rottenness of the bones. Rottenness of the bones. Thank you, Lord. Praise You. But the Father says, I forgive you. If you forgive men their trespasses, and you need to forgive your trespasses against the Holy Spirit. Because He created you. That's what it really gets down to. That you're telling God, I don't like what You made. I don't like what You created. I don't like this lifestyle that You put me in. Get out by obeying the Word. I had a talk with my Father. I said, in Your Word, You say, You will supply all my needs. Right? Did He say that He will supply your needs? And I said, I need a job. Hello, Tom. I need a carpenter. Then I got up off the couch, off my lower posterity, and went and worked. If there wasn't a carpenter's job, hey, I need some block laying done. I got up off the couch. I went and laid the blocks. Hey, I need a roof put on. I got up, went and put the roof on. Hey, I need some wiring done. I got up, went. Now I got 3 or 4 jobs at the same time, trying to juggle. And I pray God give me the strength to handle all of them and handle the people with it. You know? But it's God that... God is our resource, but we need to be aware of what's going on. How many jobs do you think this little lady has right here? I see a lot of expression. They know she's not even working, but she's got 3 businesses. She's got a bachelor's degree from the college. And we got all 4 limbs walking around, dancing around. I need some money. Something wrong with this process. Something wrong with the process. Jesus. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, and glorify you. God, you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we love you. We submit ourselves to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you and glorify you for the jobs that we do have. We praise you for the finances we do have. I praise you, Father, for that right now in Jesus' name. Because you even feed the lilies of the field. You even feed the birds. You even feed the deer. You even feed the cattle. And we think we're feeding the cattle. Because He grows the grass. And I thank you for all this right now in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, anything that I mentioned, I'm in here, there's a strong man in anybody's life. I bind that strong man right now in Jesus' name. I break your power and command it to leave you right now. Self-judgment, self-bitterness, self-hatred, self-rejection, self-destruction. I bind you and I break your powers right now in Jesus' name. Command you to loose the people right now. I'm out of there right now. And everybody just give me a cough right now. A courtesy cough. Thank you, Lord. Be gone. Be gone right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Sometimes when we do a corporate cough like that, that takes care of pride. Somebody's slipping over there and I ain't gonna move because they're going to see that I got a problem. And that releases us, okay? So sometimes we need to help bury our other brothers' burdens. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Judgment. I speak to the seat of judgment. I break your powers and I break your authority. All seats of judgment outside of God. I bind and break your powers. Command to loose the people right now. In Jesus' name. Judging wrongly. Go. In Jesus' name. I turn that earthly judgment to discernment. And discernment to the proper time, the proper word. I release into you right now the Holy Ghost to speak a proper word at the proper time. We thank you, we praise you, glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I praise and glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to just let the people keep the deliverance of God this week. Lord, you undergird them. Lord, let them not abort the Holy Spirit. But God, here I charge the body right here. Go and sin no more. Do not go back into what you was delivered from. Fight it with everything within you. I bind and break the power and authority of it in the name of Jesus. And see, Satan's got... He's not omnipotent, but he's got a finite number that's going to... In other words, there's a number of evil spirits that's going to attack you, and you've got to walk through them. In other words, I've got anger right here. He whispers in my ear, you need to get mad at that white-haired lady in the back row. I bind you, break your power, and command it loose. That thing falls off. Another one just steps up there. Well, you're supposed to get mad at the lady in the blue hat. I bind that and break the power and authority, and that one goes. And pretty soon Satan's going to realize he's losing too many of his soldiers or too many of his imps, and they'll quit bothering you there. Then if you've got a problem with lust, I bind that spirit of lust. Boom! It falls off you. I bind at my lustful eye over here in Jesus' name. Boom! That one falls off. But they'll just keep... And finally, if you keep on warring, you keep on binding and loosening, I refuse to hear that word. I refuse to receive that fiery dart. I refuse in the name of Jesus. I refuse to get offended. Because I know everybody's got a spirit of offense in here that if the right person talks to you. Yeah. And I guarantee you, who doesn't? I bind that spirit of offense that tries to come against me. That brings division within the body. that tears down, that builds conspiracies. I can do it better than you. I know how to promote this thing, and it's going to go further. God built it. God can take care of it. And we think we're going to... Something's wrong. We're getting the cart before the horse. The Lord is the Lord, man of war, and He wants to war for you. And we're going to war for Him. We don't even have to defend Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I pray You glorify Him. For time's sake, Lord, we just thank You and praise You, glorify You right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You. There was one particular person in here wants to be, ordained or anointed. Mr. Cole, come on up forward. I want you to tell him a little bit of your testimony before we do this. Where you work, what you do, and how you treat the kids. Kind of speaking.
Okay. I'm a juvenile detention supervisor. I work with the children. I've been there for 7 years. I have dealt with everything from murderers to thieves to, you name it, I've seen it. One of the things the Lord put on me, and He taught me how to do deliverance, and basically it's the way He showed me. I just started doing it the way He showed me in the deliverance or in the detention center. And the spirits would come out, and it's like Tom said, hell comes right at you. Everybody that came against me, something happened to them. I tried everything I could do not to stay angry, not to stay bitter, and as soon as that released it, boom, something happened. But, now I'm at the position of supervisor, and it's now like the presence of the Lord walks in front of me. Wherever I walk into, just the atmosphere changes, and it's a wonderful experience to be able to walk in, and you can just feel the lower stuff leaving.
Yes. So. And with that testimony, that's the reason why I would like to... Don, you want to come forward, and we'll lay hands on him and pray over him. And because, listen, when you start doing God's work and things start falling by the wayside, you are walking in His presence. And He's called, and He needs some fellowship. He needs some mentoring. He needs some
impartation.
And so this is what this is all about right now, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank You and we praise You right now. Lord, we impart into You the blessings of God. He's already imparted You, but sometimes we need man to do this. Lord, we speak life into You, life more abundant. Lord, the protection of God is all over You. And Lord, we accept Him right here as a brother. We thank You, we praise You, glorify You in Jesus' name.
I want to impart into Him security in You, Lord. When he goes home at night, all that insecurity floods in on him, and all those doubts and fears try to attack him. And Lord, I just banish those right now. I don't bind him, I banish him. I banish him back into the darkness where they came from, Lord. And Lord, I just pray in an impartation of what You did me of perseverance and determination to have all that You have and to stay with You no matter what it looks like and no matter what happens. He probably already has that, but I give him some more, Lord. And Lord, give him deeper insight, give him more power. Jesus, and Lord, the love that He has, just keep increasing it. Give Him a love that He's never had before.
Yeah.
No more anger, no more rejection, no more nothing. That everything He does is out of love, even His sternness and His discipline comes out of love. The understanding of when to be soft and when to be hard, all those things, right now in Jesus' name, I impart those to Him. Amen.
And more discernment, Father, more. Discern how His voice should carry, loud, soft, whatever. We thank You, we praise You, we glorify You right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we just pray over this food right now. We get, Lord, for the nourishment and the furthest of gospel, Lord God. Not that we live to eat, but we eat to live. Lord, let the anointing of the Father go with them.
In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.